know about that maybe some of you don't know about our special music singer there, Angela Bajeski, is that first time she took her driver's test, she aced it. She now has her driver's license. And from what I hear, Bobby's already got a car lined up for her. And what a blessing that is. And I know if my wife didn't have a driver's license, we wouldn't be divorced, but one of us would be dead, maybe. But it's a blessing, and I'm glad for that milestone there in Angela's life. And had a good teacher, right? Her dad, Jose, no. We'll stop the jokes right here. All right, amen and amen. Speaking of dads, on this Mother's Day, I'm thinking of my father-in-law. Here's Mother's Day, and I'm thinking of my father-in-law. But this will help you mothers, too. His name was Harry Leeser, and he did roofing here in Pennsylvania before he moved his family to New Jersey, and then they went down to sunny South Florida. And there my father-in-law built his own aluminum construction business. And he built a multi-million dollar business. My father-in-law was also a great father and a family man. He didn't want his family just to veg out before the TV, you know. He wanted his family to have a good time. My wife was in, junior high and high school there. She was living in South Florida. My father-in-law said, okay, I'm going to get everybody horses. And he got horses for everybody in the family. And then he bred them at a stable, you know. And after school, my wife, along with the rest of her siblings, would go to the horse stable. And they would get in the horse. My father-in-law was a great horseman. And he was raised on a farm, you know. And he would take off. And they would each have their own horse. And my wife has all kind of stories of horses when they were growing up. And most of the year is sunny down in Florida, so they were able to go out in the fields and the forest and ride their horses and have a good time. And I remember my father-in-law had a great work ethic. I managed apartments for him down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And he had a great work ethic. He was always doing something, and he would get family members involved in his projects, and he would say this when he got us all together to do a job. He'd say, let's just make a game of it. Let's make a game of it, you know. And we'd get out there and we would work. But he was a good worker. And after I got married, I remember my father-in-law saying a phrase that he used to say quite often. And I want to use that phrase this morning for the message on this Mother's Day. His phrase was, Randy, you only go this way one time, so get all the gusto you can out of life. He'd say, he'd say it this way, grab all the gusto you can get. Grab all the gusto you can get. You remember that? Him saying that? Now, he was not saved at that time. He wasn't saved until he got into his 50s, but he was gloriously saved through the witness of an independent fundamental Baptist church down there in a kind of a other side of the tracks church, where he had his beautiful home in Wellington, where Prince Charles went, you know, in the Acres. But he got saved in a other side of the tracks independent fundamental Baptist church. And I want to take what he said about grab all the gusto you can get, and I want to talk to you about how you can grab all the gusto you could get. And this past week, while I was reading a book featuring the ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles, he mentioned the importance of these opening of the verses of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Galatians 1, verse 3, Ephesians 1, 2, Colossians 1, 2. And you don't need to turn to all these verses, but I'm just going to read you from 1 Corinthians 1, 2. It says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:2b says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I notice there are three other kind of verses, 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, and Titus 1:4, and they add one word there, and it's mercy. Like 2 Timothy 1:2 says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Brother Hiles mentioned that what intrigued him in looking at the concordance was that the words Lord Jesus Christ were used 38 times in the New Testament. I want to say to you this morning, getting grace, mercy, and peace has the source of coming from God the Father, but it also has the source of coming to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob. He is the Savior of the world, and He is the one through whom you get grace, mercy, and peace in your life. And notice it says that, and it comes from Him. Now, I'm focusing mainly this morning on the blessings of grace and peace, although you need daily mercy. You say, what's grace? Grace is God's enablement to live and enjoy the blessings of life, to enjoy life to the fullest from God. Peace is that relationship to God where you're not at war with God and you have a calmness within you, even though things around you may be going badly. And then mercy is when you fail. I don't know about you, but toward the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, Titus, he used mercy along with grace and peace because I think he was conscious that he was a failure many times, and we're all failures and we need mercy. But it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm focusing on these blessings this morning, and I'm nicknaming these blessings of grace and peace getting the gusto that you need to get. Now, let me tell you, when I think about getting the gusto, I'm talking about the ability to enjoy your life, the ability to enjoy church, the ability to enjoy the Lord. And I want to have you help me. If you have one of these things called a computer, I want you to take that and press it real hard this morning. You want to enjoy this and hit power off. Right now, hit power off. Do that with me, amen? And I want you to listen up because I'm saying to you that it's the ability to enjoy your life, to enjoy your blessing. You know what? I am so thankful that I can have life and have it more abundantly. I used to think if I got Christianity, I would want to have one foot in the grave, another on a banana peel, because it didn't appeal to me. Not as a young boy, I didn't want it. But when I got it, man, I'm saying this is the gusto. This is the gusto, and I want you to grab that gusto. And so I want to say this morning to you that you can grab all the gusto by getting a hold of the source of grace and peace, which is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. There are different degrees of getting grace and peace in your life. There's different degrees of gusto that I'm nicknaming grace and peace. There are different degrees of it in your life. The other day, our hot water heater gave out. My wife said to me late, I think it was Thursday night, oh, we have no hot water. I'm like, oh boy. And our hot water heater gave out. So I had to get a new hot water heater, get it installed on Friday, and go through all of that process. And when we got that, we began to have hot water, and now we have hot water. But I noticed there are different degrees of hot water. When we got the new water heater, I noticed he set it at medium. But both my wife and I said, that's not enough. We want to get more hot water. And so we turned it up to another level. And I'm saying to you this morning, there are three levels here that I want to talk about with you this morning of getting the gusto in your life of grace and peace. In 2 Corinthians 1:2 and these other verses, you should know there's three different settings. We might say warm, hot, and very hot this morning. Now, one of the settings is the setting by the word Jesus. And the name Jesus is the name the angel Gabriel told Mary to name her virgin-born son. The next setting, listen carefully, is the name Lord. Lord Jesus. The name Lord is really a very important word when we think of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. The third one is the word Christ. Christ is not his last name. My name's Randy Bloom. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. And we'll talk about that setting that we need to get a hold of. We need to realize that it comes through, this gusto of grace and peace comes into your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, setting one, setting two, Lord, setting three, Christ. And we'll talk about that this morning. First, the name Jesus is the actual name, as I just said, that was the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua or Yehoshua or Yeshua. You say, well, what does Jesus mean? It means salvation. The first thing this morning you need to know if you're ever going to have true gusto in your life is you need to know that you have eternal life. If you don't know you have eternal life, you're not going to have real gusto out of this life. In fact, that's the problem in America today. People don't live beyond this life. They don't see eternity. And so they live their life like an animal. And you have college kids going on the beaches of Pensacola or wherever they go in spring break and fornicating like dogs and cats. And sad to say, we have many people doing that today. You have to know, if you're going to get the gusto out of this life, you've got to know where you're going. Can I say something to you this morning? I know if I died, I'm going to heaven. You say, oh, that's understandable. You're a preacher, you know. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm one of the chief of sinners. I know I'm going to heaven because I've got that first blessing in my life. And that first blessing in my life is to have Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior. He is the one that gives you that great blessing in your life. And you need to receive him. We'll talk about that. Lord, that word means master or ruler or overseer. Listen, it's a benevolent, complete dictator. That's what the word Lord means. A benevolent dictator. Do you know what? That people in this world, and Victor Davis Hansen has said this, the great philosopher, he's just wrote a book on this, but when societies run down and they go down into the pit, do you know why they go down into the pit? Because people are given freedom and they can't handle it. And so that freedom is taken away from them. Do you know our freedoms are being taken away from us in America? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. You know why? Because the whole society has not been able to use that freedom. And so what happens when you don't use that freedom? A dictator comes in and takes over. And it's not usually a good dictator. I'm talking Adolf Hitler. I'm talking Benito Mussolini. I'm talking Joe Biden. You know, you get the picture. I'm saying that that's what begins to happen in a society. But the word Lord, Jesus means Savior. The word Lord means dictator, benevolent dictator, absolute dictator. And then you have the word Christ, Christos. Now the word Christos is the word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And the word Messiah speaks to one being anointed by God to do a special work. Now, in the Old Testament, kings were anointed by a prophet. They would pour oil on the head of the king, and then the Holy Spirit would come on that king, and he could then be a king. And Christ, Messiah, means Jesus, the Lord, is also the king. And he was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to be the King of Kings, to be the soon coming King who will rule the whole world. And he's the King that gives you, when you submit to him as your King, you crown him as your King. Listen, he gives you the power of his anointing to do his kingdom work. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're a mother today, you're seeking the good of your children. But to have the good of your children, you've got to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so when you bow to him, you get the power. He gives you the power to do that. And you grab all the gusto you can get when you relate to Jesus as the Savior. When you relate to Lord as your absolute master, ruler, dictator. And when you relate to Christ as your King, who's anointed to do kingdom work. Can I say to you, I am so glad that I'm related to the true King of the universe and he's going to succeed. David was the true anointed king of Israel. But remember, Saul was taken by God and he was made king before David, and then God took his power away from Saul. He took his Holy Spirit power and he gave it to David, but Saul kept on keeping at the job of being a king, but he was not the true king. He was an imposter. And then Saul died and his son Ishbosheth was made king, really by his general Abner. And Ishbosheth was king and David was king, but one was anointed by the power of God and the other was not. Do you know who the one was anointed by the power of God? David. And the kingdom of Ishbosheth became weaker and weaker. You know, it kind of reminds me of Joe Biden. I don't call him president. Sorry, I just won't do it. But he thinks he's the guy, you know. But it's failing. It's getting weaker and weaker. The true president, you can put him in jail, you can do what you want, but people recognize it. They see the hand of God. People saw the hand of God in David's life. And I'm saying to you, when you bow to Christ as your king, the hand of God is with you. Christ comes from the house of David. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By the way, that land over there in Israel, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Tigris River, from the mountains of Lebanon to the river of Egypt, is all Israel's land. I said it's Israel's land by divine contract. Genesis chapter 12. I'm not afraid to say it. You say, why not? Because I've owned Christ as my king. I represent him. I am speaking to you, not political correct speech, but kingly speech. You say, I don't like everything you say. Well, if I'm saying it from God, you're just going to have to figure out a way to lump it, even on Mother's Day. I'm just saying to you that how can you get all the gusto out of life? It's how you relate to the source of the gusto, Jesus, the Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And I'm going to say something this morning. Some of you are not enjoying your life. Some of you at one time or another have maybe contemplated suicide. I don't know. Some of you, at the end of the day, you feel worn out, jaded, tired of your life. All of your melancholy disposition, all of your depression and sadness, I want to say to you this morning, is wrapped up in the fact, and this is not only mothers, but children and teenagers and adults, is wrapped up in the fact that you have not accepted him as your Savior, obeyed him as your absolute master and Lord, or bowed to him as your empowering king to do kingdom work for him. And I just want to say this morning, how can you get all the gusto out of your life that you can get? Well, the first thing I want to say is I just have three things to say. Number one, receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll always be the happiest person in the world. It doesn't mean that. When I put the hot water heater on, before we put the hot water heater on, the hot water was just non-existent. It was dead. It was just cold water. There was nothing there. Even when we got the new hot water heater in, the pipe letting the gas into the heater was not working, and it didn't keep the flame lit. The pilot couldn't stay lit. It kept going out, and he kept turning it to the right. And I said, lefty loosey, righty tighty, turn it to the left. And he lefty loosied it, and the gas started coming in there, and it lit up. You know what? Some of you've been squeezing Christ out. You haven't made room for Christ. I had a good friend of mine after I got saved. And before I got saved, he was not my friend. This was in high school. This guy was what I would call a whoremonger, a womanizer as a teen boy. I can't talk about him in detail because his life was pretty gross, you know. But he had some bad stories, and he did some bad things. But he was always on the move, never able to rest, never able to have peace. He was just always on the move, always trying to get another girl. It was like, had today what we would call an addiction. And he went into the service. He went over to Okinawa where the Japanese were jumping off the cliff, suicide cliff in Okinawa. And he got up there and he's playing chicken with the waves, you know. And he had just gone to a church with a girl, trying to get a girl. And she's a teen girl. And he, you know, invited him to church. He was in the service. And he goes. And then the preacher's preaching like I'm preaching. And he's talking about you've sinned against God, you know. And you've done this sin and that sin. And you're going to die and you're going to face God. And then you're going to have to go and pay for your sin in a place called hell. And his heart started beating, and he was really under conviction of his sin. And he just couldn't even sit there any longer. The pastor was given the invitation saying, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus who died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again. He'll take your sins away, and he'll give you peace with God. And he'll give you grace where all your sins will be paid for as a free gift. And he was just under conviction. He didn't want to deal with this. He didn't want this girl. He thought, this girl brought me to church. Now I got to listen to this. And he was mad at the girl. And he ran out the back of the church. He ran out the back and he told her, I'll never come here again. I'll never go with you anymore. And that's the way he was. And he went out and he was playing chicken with the waves, suicide cliff. And he's doing this and the waves are coming up. And that's where the Japanese jumped off a suicide cliff during World War II, you know, because they knew they were being defeated by the Americans. And so he got up there and he tried to play chicken with the waves. It was a typhoon and it grabbed him and it pulled him down. And he just said he was going down the ocean and he was going down and he would grab rocks, coral rocks, you know, that were jutting up, and it was just cutting his hands, And his combat boots were ripped off him by the power of the wave, just ripped off him, his combat. In fact, all of his clothes were totally ripped off him. And then he had something he said was amazing. He said his whole life ran before him, all the stuff he'd done, all the garbage with girls, all the sin. And then he realized Jesus paid for that. And he just accepted it by simple faith. And he had peace with God. And everything went out. The next thing he remembered, he didn't wake up in heaven, obviously. He woke up on a coral reef, bloody, no clothes on. And there he was, alive. And a born-again Christian. He came back from being out there in Okinawa. After he got out of the service, he looked me up. He heard I got saved, and we started going out and telling others about Jesus together. He became my best friend, and he was somebody I never hung around with before that, you know. And he became a best friend because he had come to accept Jesus as the Savior. You know what? You can't have gusto in your life if you don't know where you're going when you die. I'd get sick as a kid and I didn't know where I was going, and I would be afraid I'm going to die because am I going to wind up in hell? I don't know for sure. I didn't have a no-so salvation. Now I know whom I have believed in, And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you know that you're saved? You say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether I can hold up. I'm not sure whether I'm good enough. I'm not sure whether I've done enough. Listen, that shows you're not saved, because your faith is in yourself. Even if you believe in Jesus in your head and your heart, you're trusting in your own goodness. You have to transfer your faith to one person, Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life, who died and rose again. The name Jesus, what does that mean? Jesus, Savior. He does all the saving. Well, what do? We come to him like we're in quicksand, saying, Lord, save me. And as soon as we say, Lord, save me, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? When COVID came down, I wasn't afraid of COVID. Because I know where I'm going. I don't have to be afraid of COVID. You know what? The Bible says there's going to be other, I don't call them pandemics, I call them plandemics. Fauci planned it. Bill Gates planned it. These guys are wicked people. They killed my father. Prepare to die, people. Not from me, but God will deal with you. Unless you get saved. These people are wicked and evil. Satan is wicked and evil. They want to reduce the population from about 8 billion people in the world to what, about 500 million? You say, where do you get that? The Georgia Guidestones, the Ten Commandments of Satan written in stone, just like the Ten Commandments of God, thou shalt not kill or murder, were written in stone. I'm saying today, the first setting on that water heater to show that you're cooking with gas. When we got that water and that gas was going, I said, we're cooking with gas now. If you get saved on this Mother's Day, you'll be able to say, I'm cooking with gas. You say, how do I know I'm saved? Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to him and cast yourself upon him. He'll give you grace. He'll forgive all your sin, and he'll give you a mansion in heaven. He could give you a shack and you'd be happy not to be in hell. But he gives you a mansion. John 14. So that's the first way to grab the gusto is, how can you get all the gusto out of this life? Receive Jesus as your Savior, or you will not be able to enjoy this life that you've been given. Number two, obey him as your Lord. Remember my hot water heater and how you turn the valve and turn it to warm, and then that's like receiving Jesus as your Savior. You know, you have warmth, you have life, but now you want more, and the Lord will give you more. He said, I'm come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. And the second step is to turn it to hot and go from warm or lukewarm to hot. That's what I just did this morning. We got up and I said, my wife said, well, my bath wasn't very warm last night. She likes it so hot. She looks like a lobster when she comes out of there. It's so hot. But even me, I take showers. I don't like it in a lukewarm shower. I don't like it when she's doing the dishes and I'm taking a shower. I got to say, hey, don't do the dishes. I mean, our heater was just going out on us for a while. It was bothering me. Now, man, I turn that up to hot. I got in there this morning. I'm like, yeah, this is the way I like it. Boy, it's good. And that is the second step, as you obey him as your Lord. The Bible says that's the way you get more gusto. Now, some of you may think, well, if I have a good job and I make a lot of money, then I'm going to be happy. I'm going to enjoy my life. Some of you think, well, if I get married, boy, I'll be happy and I will enjoy my life. Let me tell you, it's better being single and wishing you were married than married and wishing you were single. Now, me, I'm married and happy. Amen. Thrilled with my wife. But not everybody's got that. And no, the key to enjoying your life and getting all the gusto is simply doing not what you want to do, but doing what God wants you to do. That hot water heater, when you got saved, isn't the freedom to do whatever you feel like doing. You know, when I grew up in the teen years in the 60s, if it feels good, they said, do it. And let me tell you, a lot of my friends are dead that said that. They're dead, purity dead. You don't go by if it feels good, do it. You go by if the Lord, the Master, that is the benevolent dictator of my life, if He says it, I'll do it. Yeah, before I was saved, I did what I wanted to do. But after I got saved, I discovered I've got a new Master, a new Lord. If He's your Savior, He's also your Lord. And you begin to discover that what He says is good for every area of your life. And He showed me, I want you to give 10%. Now, do I always feel good giving that 10%? Did I always feel great? No, not necessarily. He said, I want you to preach. I want you to preach, stand up in front of people and preach. I'm like, I don't like to stand up in front of people and preach. But Lord, if you said to do it, I'll do it. Did I always enjoy it? No, I didn't always enjoy it. But I knew He said to do it. You know what I found out? I didn't always enjoy doing everything He said, but I found out He knows best. You know, there's a show called Father Knows Best. Well, the Lord knows best for your life. And I remember Gary, when he got saved, he instead of going with girls and doing the immorality that he was doing, he said, let's go downtown, Randy, and I want to meet up with all these old all these kids, and I want to go. They had a place where you just drove around and teenagers would meet teenagers. And instead of meeting them for hookups, he would meet these girls. I would just sit there and listen. He would meet these girls, talk to them, and tell them how he got saved. And then he would lead them to Jesus Christ. And it was something else. You see, he started listening to the Lord and doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And that's what you need in your life, friends. You need to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He wants you to do with your life. And you obey Him as your Master, and you begin to realize, no, don't just do what feels good. You know, the problem with the book of Judges is every man did what was right in his own eyes. And you know what? Dictators took over. Do you know why I think the United States is no longer, I don't believe we elect presidents right now. I believe they're chosen for us by an elite group of globalists. They took over our money in 1913. And they took over our government, and there's a lot of captivity in America right now. We're under captivity. And if a president got too far out of line, he gets hit one way or the other, either with lawfare or something. But you know what? I believe what we need is to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best thing you can do for America. You get back to saying to Jesus, you're not only my Savior, you're my Lord. And if you say go to church, I'll go to church. Because that's the best place to be. If you say give tithes and offerings, I'll do it. Because that's the best thing to do. If you say get baptized after I got saved to show others I'm saved, I'll do it. Because that is what you want. If you want me to be a bus captain, like I talked to Matt one time about being a bus captain, and he became a bus captain, and now he says, I'll do it whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to do it because it's the best thing to do. It keeps you from a lot of trouble doing the will of God for your life. A lot of people go by what feels good, and then they wind up in the spider web. It's like a fly that goes after something, and he goes after it, and he gets in that spider web, and the spider wraps him up. And that's what the devil does to you. You go after what looks good, what you think is good, and then it wraps you up, and you become spider food. Listen to me. You become food for the devil. And that's the way we are in America right now. And so I'm saying, if you want to get heat in your life, first of all, accept Jesus as your personal Savior and know where you're going. Secondly, you relate to Jesus as Lord and do His will and get into the Bible, and then come to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church with your Bible with you. And I remember the first time I went to a Baptist church, man. In our church, we didn't have a Bible. The church I was raised up in, they had maybe a Bible in the pew, but nobody really had their own Bible. I go to a Baptist church, everybody's carrying their Bible. I'm like, what is this? These guys are fanatics. I remember a guy was preaching on music, and he preached against the music I had, and I gave up my pop music to get God's music in my life. And I started doing the will of the Lord. Did I always feel like it? Well, you may eat spinach and beets, and you may want to just have your dessert first and then your dessert last, and just eat your pecan pie and eat your chocolate cake and eat your ice cream and I know I'm making you hungry, Joe, and just all of that. Joe likes desserts, but he's a good boy. He eats his vegetables. You do it because the Lord said this is what's right, and you do it and God blesses you. But there's one more thing I want to say to you, and how you can get all the gusto out of your life, and that is crown him as your empowering king. Remember, I said that it's Christ, and Christ means the anointed king of kings in your life. I began to learn to submit to Christ as the anointed king and get involved in his kingdom work. I remember I was in college and I wanted to get a wife, and I would go to the snack shop and look for the pretty girls there, and I remember Charles Ware, he was our first pastor, my best friend then. He'd say boom, called me boom, my name's Bloom, but he called me boom, 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 or boom. He'd say boom, you don't have to go looking for a wife all the time. He said, you just do the kingdom work. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I noticed with him, you know, he wasn't seeking after a woman. He wasn't seeking after a wife. He was just seeking the king and to follow the king. And he crowned Christ king of his life. And he was doing kingdom work all the time. He said, you just do God's work, Bloom. You get caught up in that, and God will cause that woman to be caught up in your tailspin. You'll be like a jet just going, and God will. And he was absolutely right. And you know what? It's true of everything in your life. When you bow and crown Christ king of your life, you begin to experience his power helping you. It's not just you doing it for the Lord. Like, I'm picking apples for the Lord. I'm doing things for the Lord. That's the second setting. But the warm, the very warm, the hot setting, the hottest setting is when you do it. Listen, don't miss this. Listen, you do it with your king. You do it with Jesus. And he gives you the power to do his kingdom work. Some people, they go out soul winning because they know it's right, and that's good. But some people go out and they're just caught up in it. Some people give their tithe and offering because they know it's good. But I remember a church down in Virginia. They named that church after a great preacher, and the people were on fire. And when the offering plate went by, they went like this. They just put their money in and they'd go, amen, praise God. In other words, they were caught up in doing what God wanted them to do. Don't just get a little bit of Jesus in your life. Get filled with the anointing power, because I'm going to tell you this in closing. Jesus Christ is the King of the world. He's been anointed by God, and he's going to come back and he's going to rule this world. By the way, if I get my prayer answered, the true anointed president is going to be sitting in the White House. But I'll tell you what, the whole world is against Jesus coming back and sitting up on top of that hill where right now the Mosque of Omar is, where right now the Islamic abomination is, because you see, Muhammad was a pedophile, and he married Aisha when she was 7 and consummated the marriage when she was 9, and I've read what she said about it when she was about 16, 17, 18 years old. She was still married to that guy. You believe in that religion, you're believing in a lie. It is son-in-law introduced, or his son, I'm sorry, introduced him to his daughter-in-law. And he suddenly got a revelation that said, I can marry her. And Salman Rushdie wrote about it in his book called Satanic Verses. It's in the Quran. You see, the God Allah, who's really a satanic God, not the God of the Bible, not the same God. He said, you can change things up. God can change. He can lie. He can break his own law. God doesn't do that. Not the God of the Bible. I'm just simply saying to you this morning that he is the King. He is the Christ. He is going to reign. And so when you submit to him and his kingdom work and put it first, you have his anointing power flowing through you. You are now on the side of the house of David versus the false kingships of this world and the false kings that Satan would put up there, like the Antichrist that's coming soon. I'm saying to you, you can get all out of life, all the gusto out of life by receiving Jesus as your Savior, obeying him as your Lord, and then crowning him as your empowering King. May God help you to do that today. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning.